All right, what's up? Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark, Tuesday episode of the show. There's a lot going on in Gamecock Nation. Normally, you would see Mike sitting right here, but we've had Mike and Jack and Joe steal some of our slots. We're now stealing Mike's slot. Mike currently with Jack on the way. I believe they're already in the car right now on the way to Pittsburgh. Of course, South Carolina men's basketball opening up NCAA tournament play on Thursday, 4 o'clock TNT. And then Chris and I still back here in Columbia, of course, talking football, spring football practice kicking off today. And I mean, this, Chris, is what GamecockCentral.com was built for, I feel like, is to provide Gamecock fans with anything and everything they could want. So we're going to do our best as a team to provide men's basketball coverage, women's basketball coverage, baseball coverage, and of course, spring football coverage headed up by me and Chris back here in Columbia. So exciting time for the Gamecocks indeed right now.
It is exciting, man. A lot going on, obviously. Basketball coming up this week. And, man, I really sense, we were talking about this the other day, Gamecock fans, spring practice for football has in a little bit to me, Wes, has kind of flown under the radar for some South Carolina fans because of the basketball team and all the excitement around that for good reason, right? But spring practice is here. And I think now that it's here, we've got some coverage up, going up on the site, continuing. Wes, you and I might even be publishing some stories while we're on here talking, even as we continue to multitask. I think that's going to kick it into high gear. And I think Carolina fans in short order are also going to be fully on board with spring practice. So we got chance to go out there this morning. It was great to be out there. Shane Beamer spoke afterwards, you know, for about 30 minutes and updated Carolina fans and the media on a whole bunch of things as well. So exciting times, no doubt, here in Columbia.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real with all you guys and girls, man. I feel behind right now. Like, I'm trying to get caught up on stuff I meant to write right after practice. We, of course, had the radio show, then Beamer talked, and now I'm going to update everybody here on the podcast. So there's a lot going on. I feel behind. Y'all bear with us. We're going to try to get as much info out there as we possibly can. And shout out to everybody here in the stream, still loyal listeners, Travis, Craig, Josh. What's up, guys? Hope y'all are doing well. Josh asks in jest, who are our coaches again? But Josh, it's a valid question, man. I mean, I was talking to some people even like within the program, and they're pointing out, like, all right, our wide receivers coach has been here for like a couple of weeks. So that there is an adjustment period, I think, for everybody involved. Like, it would be one thing if you were coming in and you had new coaches, which Carolina does, but you had all offseason to kind of get used to those changes and get used to basically every coach's approach. Every coach has a unique personality, a unique way of doing things. For a lot of these guys, you're kind of learning on the fly. And I think if you're Mike Ferry, you're learning maybe some of this scheme on the fly, I would think, and some terminology on the fly. So it is an offseason, I think, especially on that offensive side, Chris. It's an offseason of transition for South Carolina. Before we get too deep into that, speaking of transition, if you were wanting to maybe transition your life to a bigger house, a new house, maybe you want to go from renting to buying, hit up our friend Clint Hammond of Movement Mortgage, clinthammond.com, 803-771-6933. Again, we always tell you, we're not telling you got to buy a home right now. We're not forcing anybody to go buy a house. But if you are in a position where you're looking to buy a new home and you just want somebody to walk you through this entire process, our buddy Clint here in Columbia is a mortgage broker. He's going to walk you through that process, especially if you're a first-time home buyer. You want somebody who has experience. Clint can do that, and he can talk some Gamecock football with you along the way. Shout out to everybody else who got in here. Will, Keith, Oscar Attaway Jr. joining us, which I believe has to be the father of Oscar Attaway III, Gamecock transfer running back who was out there today as well, rocking number 27 in the white jersey. So, Chris, let's start right there, man. By the way, what's up, Mr. Attaway? Hope you're doing well. Let's start there, though. Newcomers. Like, I had I used to pride myself in, you could be like, hey, Wes, who's number 27? And I'd be like, oh, right away on offense. And I would know it instantly. Now there's so much roster rotation from year to year. And then you have guys who change their jersey numbers too, just to mess with us old guys. And so the car is Wayne.
Yeah.
Stealing Terrell Dawkins' old number, now number 4 on defense. So go ahead, file that away. But I had my roster out there, man, trying to check off, hey, I want to see this newcomer, I want to see that newcomer. It's a little bit overwhelming just how many new guys are in this system, offense, defense, special teams, just lots of newness out there at practice today.
Well, and that's what day one's for, right? I mean, we're not going to be able to answer the question of, hey, how did such and such player look? I would love to be able to kind of fluff it up and say, man, we got great looks at everybody. We didn't, honestly, because it's day one. We got 6 periods of the practice, not even a full practice of day one. Keep in mind, these guys are still going through the NCAA mandated acclimatization period. I have to say that slowly every time or I botch it. And so they're in helmets and shorts and a jersey, right? They're not out there popping the pads yet. It's not tackling guys to the ground. We didn't see 11 on 11, right? So keep everything we're saying in that context. Now, it's still important to be out there and get a look. And the reason I just said all of that word salad was to say this, we go out there on day one because you want to see all these guys. You want to put eyes on them from a physical standpoint. Are there any position changes? How are guys being used? And what do they look like physically? And so this year, Wes, it's changed dramatically from, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, because now every spring, this is probably going to be the normal where you're not just seeing a handful of guys in spring and then 15 to 20 freshmen in preseason camp. Now you're seeing 30 new guys and all of them during spring, right? South Carolina's 2024 class, when you count the high schoolers and the JUCO guys, transfers, 36 players deep, and only 4 of those are not on campus for spring drills. So there are 32 new guys, I think, by my count, out there. A lot of them transfers, and then, of course, some freshmen as well. So just putting eyes on some of those guys, what do they look like? It was our first time seeing some of those guys in a Gamecock uniform, obviously. Some of them we didn't scout in high school. They're new. Being able to look at them, I thought was really interesting, and we honestly need more time to assess that, but we did get some early impressions, I think, on a few.
Yeah, would have loved the opportunity to see some of those 11-on-11 early camp, kind of depth charts and stuff like that. Beamer was adamant, again, press conference today, there is no depth chart, which I feel like was pointed directly at the media folks out here. But, Coach, we got to have something to talk about. And if nothing else, the fact that you ran out there first has to mean something, right? Like, it's got to mean something. In some cases, I will say this. We're talking about running backs a second ago. I believe some coaches prefer to go, my first practice, day one, I'm going to send the guys with seniority out there first, right? And then maybe you change the depth chart or the non-existent depth chart, whatever we're calling this list that features the order people go out there. Maybe it changes every day. But some coaches say, hey, I'm using this to reward my guys and what they did in winter workouts. Other coaches may say, if you were a starter last year, you start spring day one as the first guy up, and then may the best man win, let them beat you out on the way. So as SC Mike says, I heard Tree wasn't out there with the ones. Yes, that is true. First team offensive line, the first guys out there, we'll say, in the one first team 11-on-11 we saw, Ja'Kai Moore at left tackle, Marky Anderson at left guard, Rashawn Lee at center, Trovon Ball at right guard, and then Kaysen Henry at right tackle. So that makes sense. Was there a little bit of a surprise in there? Of course. All right, now, fast forward 6 months from now, guys, is Tree Babalade probably going to be South Carolina's starting tackle? I would argue yes. I would say yes. So to Coach Beamer's point, can you start reading completely into who goes out there first? No. Can you mention it and take note of it? Yes. And so other things I take note of, how coaches talk about particular players. I've got Attaway on the brain just because his dad just weighed in. But and this is not lip service to him. This is the reality. We got to sit down with Dow Loggins last week on the radio, and he didn't bring up any single player. And except for when we were talking offense in general, he mentioned Oscar Attaway and Rocket Sanders, which told me, and this was in context of the direction this offense is taking as far as what they want to be. What is their identity going to be this year? Maybe a little bit more run-based, I think, is a fair bet compared to what we saw last year when they were building it around Spencer Rattler's arm and Xavier Leggett as a pass catcher. So it is going to take on a different personality, I think. And we don't really get to see all that yet. That's not what day one of spring ball is about. But it can still be fascinating to look out there and see who runs out there first.
Yeah, sure. And I do think that seemed to be, Wes, the lean on day one. We got very, very quick glimpses of some of those things that, let's be fair, could have been different at a later period in practice when we weren't there. They could have literally repeated some of the exact things or had, you know, structured differently, but something else that required the quote-unquote starters that are not starters to roll out there. And maybe there are different iterations of that, right? You know, particularly when you're looking at positions like running back, where one of your top guys is not even participating in Rocket Sanders as he continues to rehab that surgically repaired shoulder. And then the offensive line, right? I mean, you anticipate big competition at the offensive line where they've built up some numbers and they've got some guys that have plenty of experience, whether it's here at South Carolina or at another school, or guys that haven't played that have a lot of talent, like a Marquis Anderson, like a Josiah Thompson, right? And so what we see on day one, I think, is very much, you know, a continuation from last year, or you've got some seniority, like you said, Juju McDowell, right? Like Juju McDowell taking the first snap at the one snap we saw of the supposed, you know, starters, quote unquote, on offense. And so some seniority there. And I think as the spring progresses, we'll probably see some changes. We'll probably hear of some changes. And then, hey, keep in mind, you still got summer and you've got preseason camp where I think some of these battles will continue.
Yeah, the O-line, man, it can look any number of different ways. I got to thinking about that when I was putting together a projected depth chart for Gamecock Central. Which guys that are listed at a current spot could move over to another? And if you caught any given drill, you could see a tackle working at guard or a center working at tackle or a center working at guard. And you might think, oh, that's what they're going with. There's going to be a lot of experimentation, I would think, this time of year about who's playing where. And you luckily do have some versatile guys. You know, I think for me, since we're on O-line, let's just roll with it. Some questions there. I look at Torricelli Simpkins III. He comes in. He was one of those guys I kind of circled based on what I had heard about him. You know, Sed Williams, a former Gamecock offensive lineman, was his O-line coach before he got to South Carolina. He started pretty much every single game in his career to this point, and he wants to try to do it at the SEC level. That's a guy I'm not counting out right now to potentially be a starter. Now, I think Vershawn Lee, who's currently the first team center, I think he's a starter for South Carolina. So if a guy who's currently on that second line starts pushing, do you move a guy around? We saw Vershawn Lee play some right tackle last year. We've seen Vershawn Lee play some guard. So what happens there? Can Josiah Thompson get himself ready as a true freshman to play this year? I think an intriguing scenario, which I don't know if it's necessarily likely, but I think would be fascinating. What if Josiah Thompson is too good to keep off the field? Is Josiah at left tackle and Tree playing guard or right tackle?
Yeah, there are a bunch of combinations. I mean, you could get up there in terms of number of combinations that none of them really seem far-fetched. I think they do have – they've got more options this year, Wes, and I don't just say that because they're healthier, right? Like, you look at right now in spring, and hopefully for South Carolina's sake, this continues into the season. They didn't have as many – they didn't have the offensive line injuries that they ended up having during the season back in the spring, right? They were just ravaged last year. They're pretty healthy with the exception of a couple of the walk-ons that Shane Beamer mentioned today. They're quite healthy there, and hopefully that continues. But it's not just because they're healthier that it's kind of like a by default. They've just got a bunch of bodies in there. They now have, as I said earlier, I think they've upgraded the talent on this offensive line group. Now, some of it is still quite young. The young guys that had to play last year really were kind of forced into action because of the injuries and the ineffectiveness. They're now a year older. They'll be better for having taken those lumps. And then you do have some veteran returners. And so, you know, they have multiple guys that could play. You know, Vershawn Lee is a great example. He could play center or he could play right tackle. And it's going to be, you know, we talk a lot about finding the best five. That's what South Carolina's approach, I think, is going to be this spring, this summer, preseason. I think all those battles, Wes, I mean, they'll probably have a five coming out of spring where you feel like this right now, this is the five, but that could change. You know, it could easily change pending the progression of some of the young players like a Thompson, like Marquis Anderson, who will be a redshirt freshman, or even how some of these transfers integrate. I mean, Kamar Bell, Wes, not really talking about him. He started a whole bunch of games during his college career and is a guy that they kind of took late. That's flying under the radar, but is quite experienced. So several guys, I think, will have a say up front on this O-line.
Yeah, again, and I listen to how coaches talk, obviously what they say, but how they say it. And I thought it was kind of interesting going back to that dialogue, this conversation, and then adding it to what Shane Beamer said today when both of those guys talked about this freshman O-line class. And Dow Loggins basically said, this is paraphrasing, but hey, we're in a race against the clock to try and get those guys ready, like up to speed in order to play this year. And I thought it was kind of interesting how Shane Beamer lumped those three guys together. In my head, I kind of am putting Josiah Thompson a little bit above the rest, just in terms of natural ability and upside. He's a five-star for a reason. And you know, and maybe I do think that's still fair, but both those guys kind of lumped those three together. And Beamer went as far as to say, hey, when we do our measurables, and, you know, you're talking about kind of the stuff that some fans maybe roll their eyes at, but there's a reason the NFL teams want to know your wingspan and your hand size and obviously height, weight. That's the most basic of all measurables. Basically, those three freshmen are kind of three of the best on the team on the offensive line, just in terms of those measurables, was what Beamer said today. So that generally can speak to some of your upside you could have at that spot. So again, I don't want to go the whole show, the whole episode talking offensive line, because we could go through about 10 different scenarios, I think, but it is an interesting spot. And one we'll be talking about all offseason, because as Loggins said, this team, this offense, is going to go as far as the O-line can take it. And so the quarterback position obviously gets talked about the most, but O-line is right there, man, in terms of importance. Saw a question earlier about, hey, how does Lenoris look? Cohen asking how do the running backs look? I mean, and I'm not picking on anybody at all, but the how do they look question, just being real, being honest, we can't answer that from six sessions of one practice without pads. Like, I wouldn't, we maybe couldn't answer it if we got to see a full scrimmage, but I could at least give you, hey, this is how that guy looked. Like, he made
scrimmage takeaways. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There could be some takeaways there from what we saw. Like, I just, we're always going to try to keep it real with y'all. There is no how did they look. They looked like SEC athletes. Like that's about as far as I'm willing to go at this point.
Yeah, my take, you know, again, with Rocket standing on the sidelines, I mean, my takeaway was looking over and saying, I literally looked over at you and said, Wes, look at Juwan Howell. He looks really good, doesn't he? Yep. All right, cool. And that's about it from today. But what we can do right now is we can say, okay, those guys check out. Oscar Attaway looks like we think he was going to look. You know, Juwan Howell looks like we thought he would look. And then you go back and you look at those guys' film on what they did last year at North Texas, at SC State, right? You look at those guys, you know what Rocket's done. And then at some point during the spring, we'll at least get a better sense. But again, based on how much we get to see in practice and then what we hear behind the scenes, right? Once the pads come on, once the team starts having some closed door scrimmages where the live bullets are flying, so to speak, you and I'll pick up some things. Hey, for example, like Oscar Attaway's have had a great spring. He did this in this scrimmage, and there'll be some actual material takeaways there. But right now, beyond just how they look and what we think they could do based on their past production, that's about it, right? And Shane Beamer talked about that a lot today, right? Like, he was asked some of the same things. How do guys look? And then I thought the better question for now, how do you think things will look and how will they progress? And he was asked specifically about receiver and running back. And his answer was kind of along the lines of what we're saying. He actually drew a comparison between running back and receiver. Hey, we brought in multiple guys at those two positions who have physical traits, like the receivers, they can all run. The running backs, they've been really productive. They were all productive at their past spots. Now it's about integrating, learning how we do things here, and then competing, and let's see how good you can be at some point.
Yeah, and a new coach at both those spots too. So that's a yet another element there that will be important. By the way, as we hit a little bit of not a stopping point, but as we kind of shift gears here, I want to tell all of you, if you're not a subscriber, go check out GamecockCentral.com, of course. Right now, we still have a special. This was for our women's basketball coverage. The actual code was, but anybody can use it, frankly. So go for it. Use the code FAMS if you want to get 40% off on your first year of an annual subscription on GamecockCentral.com. As always, you can use you can just go on there and sign up. You'll get $1 for your first month as well. So we'd love to have you as we bring coverage on all these different things going on right now. Of course, starting here with spring football with me and Chris, but we've got men and women's basketball and baseball coverage going on as well. And God Loves Comics says, based on today, if Patrick Mahomes transferred to Carolina, he would be Sellers' backup. And I do think, Chris, we have reached the point now where we have hyped up Sellers to the extent that you do have to dial it back down a little bit and just acknowledge there's a difference between upside and talent and ability and actually going out there as a redshirt freshman and leading a football team in the toughest conference in America. So a lot of the talk you are going to hear throughout the spring is going to be about Sellers making big plays in practice. That's going to happen. That's just who he is. But I do think we need to be kind of fair about expectations for him all offseason moving into his first year as a starter. And we're assuming he's the starter at this point. That part has got to be made official as well.
Yeah, I am very much enjoying the jokes about, you know, so based on today, Lenoris is winning the Heisman and Patrick Mahomes wears Lenoris Sellers undies and all those types of things. Those are hilarious. But in seriousness, it's kind of hard even to draw that line, Wes, because, you know, when you've got a guy like Sellers, and we are far from, like, there are people who have seen, who have come up with Sellers, who have coached him, who have coached against him, who have seen him a lot more than any of us, me, Wes, anybody listening, that, you know, their praise for this guy is like over the top, right? Like, this guy has a chance to be incredible. And it's hard to say those things, which are true, because he does have that type of potential. And then, you know, the moment he makes his first mistake in a game, which will happen, right? People, well, you said he was going to be great, you know? And so he has not started a game at Carolina. He's not played even a bunch of meaningful snaps at South Carolina. I mean, what would be the best example, Wes? Like some snaps against Kentucky, you know, running the football.
And that this was in a wildcat package.
In a wildcat package, right? Just running the football. This is a huge step up. And we have seen we've seen quarterbacks that have gone on to be literally invited to the Heisman Trophy ceremony or win the thing and be NFL draft picks in the first round, NFL starters that didn't set the world on fire as their first year in starter. They all maybe didn't start their first year. Maybe they struggled some their first year. So what I'm saying is both those things can be true. Sellers can have incredible potential, win the starting job, show some great things throughout spring, summer, preseason, and even this year, and still go through and take some freshman lumps, right? And I think he will do both of those things, actually. But I also think that by the time this guy finishes at South Carolina, he has a chance to have done some really, really special things, you know, based on his talent level.
Yeah, for sure, man. All right, I don't want to get too off the rails here without mentioning some of the actual news from the day. Not that it was a super newsy day, but some things we always want to update you guys on. First of all, injuries. Only one, I would say, real surprise there. Two of the three guys that Beamer said are going to essentially miss the entire spring. You kind of already knew it was going to be the case with these guys, that being, of course, running back Rocket Sanders, linebacker Mo Kaba. Both those guys are, I wouldn't even say injured at this point. They're more in the rehab and just trying to get back to 100% phase. Both of them have had surgeries, Rocket on his shoulder. Of course, Mo, unfortunately, on his leg, on his knee again. And so those guys are in the process of rehabbing right now. They won't push that, but they'll be able to do some things just around the team, just not in actual football live drills and stuff like that. The only surprise today, or the only real new one as far as long-term injuries, C.J. Adams, the redshirt freshman wide receiver, according to Beamer, had a little bit of a spring break injury, which nobody wants that. That's always we won't speculate on exactly what that means, Chris. Fortunately for him, just a finger, so should be fine, hopefully long-term. And then a couple of short-term injuries, like you said earlier, actually. Chase Swigert, Jackson Hughes, a couple of walk-on offensive linemen. They are hopeful they'll be back back in the next 2 weeks. Other than that, there are some guys a little banged up. I know Cam Pringle had been banged up, but he was actually out there doing a little bit. As always, there will always be a couple of guys who are kind of practicing, but they limit a little bit of what they're doing. But for the most part, you know, South Carolina feels pretty good about where they are from an injury standpoint, I think.
Yeah, it's certainly much better than how they ended up at the end of last season, right? You've had an entire offseason to get better physically and to not have any, you know, we'll see how the spring goes. Everybody's knocking on wood, right? You want to get through spring and summer and preseason, and heck, end the season, you know, and get through unscathed. Guys are going to get banged up in spring practice, but of course, especially after the pads come on, Wes, but you want to avoid any of those major injuries. So to be able to come in with a pretty clean slate and not really have many surprises, I mean, you knew Rocket was going to be rehabbing. You knew Mo was going to be rehabbing. To not have surprises and to have basically a clean slate from a health standpoint, big for this team, right? As you know, there's competition at a lot of spots. You got to get better at a lot of spots, and having everyone available is certainly a big part of that.
The other kind of, I guess, question, not injury related, but in terms of availability related, was Nicholas Harbor, who actually was at practice, but was not out there dressed out and participating. Spent a lot of it apparently beside Shane Beamer, sort of going through what you would probably call mental reps in terms of what is he supposed to do on a given play. And so, Chris, Beamer was asked about this, and it's kind of what we thought. It's kind of what we expected. And Beamer said, let me pull this up because I want to say it correctly. Beamer said track is the priority right now for Nick Harbor. They don't want for football to interfere with track or with his class schedule. And also, from the sounds of it, they're being very intentional about this. It's not just a time management situation. Like if this was baseball and football or basketball and football and a guy's basketball schedule went over into spring, that would maybe be one thing. But track, which is much different physical type of sport than football, which is a contact type of physical sport, they're being very smart, it seems like, about trying not to get him dinged up, trying not to kind of wear him down just from a kind of a muscle endurance standpoint, even, I guess, is the best way I know how to say it. And so they're being intentional in their decisions. It sounded to me, Chris, like he will be around the football team a lot, but not necessarily on the football field a lot this spring, as track is the priority for him right now.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of mental reps forthcoming, Wes, and that's what he was out there doing today. I like how you put that, because I thought of that angle, but I didn't think of it, if that makes sense, because, you know, you think of the fact a lot of guys get to college, and you hear, so I'm going to play two sports in college. And for a lot of reasons, it doesn't end up happening. And a big one is time, right? Because of the sports overlapping, you're a student, you're trying to have a life, you're trying to balance two sports. And as we know, playing even one sport in college is a job. You know, it's a commitment. It's a commitment beyond even what you're required to do with the team. To be really good, you're having to put in extra work, you know, in addition to everything else you got going on. So you got that time aspect that makes it a challenge. But then you think about track versus football. It's two really different things. You know, if you're banged up and you're playing football or you're playing basketball, to me, that's different than, you know, hey, I just took a big shot in practice on Tuesday, and now over the weekend, I'm going to run the 200. It's, you know, it's just a lot different. So from a physical standpoint, not just time management, but a physical standpoint, you have to balance those things. But Beamer did point out, he talked to Tim Hall, the head track coach. He's doing some good things here at Carolina, by the way. Spoke with him in November, December, and they feel like they have a plan laid out. So it will be interesting to see how the track career progresses, Wes. I know you've been keeping up with that some as well for Nick Harbor, but we won't see him a ton out there this spring.
Yeah, and I think important to point out again that, hey, when he was recruited, it was not – this is not a, hey, you can run track too. Like, you're a football player, but you can run track. We'll let you do that. This is, you are Nicholas Harbor. You are viral because of how big and fast you are. And you are in a position to where you could perform in the Olympics one day when it comes to track. And so I think for him, and for South Carolina, part of the recruiting process was being willing to work with him on this aspect. And from a football standpoint, would you love to have him out there taking a bunch of reps with the Norris Sellers? Absolutely, no doubt. But as Shane Beamer said, and I thought this was well put, he told Nicholas Harbor when they were standing out there today that he wants him to be the greatest track student athlete he can be this spring and to win a championship, and to put himself in a position to go to the Olympics. But also, simultaneously, there are still things he can do to continue to get better as a football player. So they will do their best to manage all those things. And like Travis said, get some work on the jugs machine. You can take mental reps in terms of your plays and stuff like that. But for a guy like Harbor, who hasn't caught a ton of passes in his high school career, you can go out there and catch a couple hundred passes a day with just you and one other person feeding it into a machine. So is it easy? No. But nobody assumed it would be easy. That's why you're Nicholas Harbor. Like, you are a special talent. You have special abilities. So is it possible? I would say yes. And I think it's going to be very important for the South Carolina receiving core that Nick Harbor is able to have a productive offseason, both in track and football.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And I think, you know, again, we were talking about tempering expectations for Lenore Sellers. We tried our best, our very best, and I think really to his credit, Shane Beamer did too, to temper expectations for Nick Harbor his freshman year. I think now that everybody's gone through that experience, I think people do realize now if they didn't because they were, you know, stuck on the five stars by his name out of the 2023 class, now people realize, okay, yeah, it was probably not fair to expect him to go catch 50 balls as a freshman, right, and be a freshman All-American and All-SEC because of all the – a track athlete, a two-sport athlete, had never played wide receiver full-time, even at the high school level, much less the SEC. I do think there's going to be probably a thought of, hey, it's year two, so now Nick Harbor needs to – boom, he needs to take that step forward. It is fair maybe to expect that, Wes, but you also have to put that in the proper context that look what's happening right now. This spring, he's going to miss a good bit of on-field time, as in he's in pads, he's on the field, he's not only taking mental reps, he's taking physical reps. That does affect your development. But everybody during recruiting knew this was going to be the plan, and so you just have to keep it in the proper, you know, context, I think.
Yeah, for sure, man. And before we get any further, Chris, let's tell everybody about our friends at Factor. You and I have been eating on some meals directly from Factor. My favorite part, dude, honestly, not only do they taste great, but with everything going on, like we talked about earlier, it's running around, maybe not a lot of time to cook, not a lot of time to put together your own meals. Very, very delicious, but also very easy to put together are these Factor meals.
Yeah, and Wes, in fact, man, I'd say you don't even have to put them together. When they're shipped right to your front door, they're already put together because they're delicious and they're ready to eat meals. They make eating better every day, very, very easy. Wes, they got 35 different options a week to choose from. I know when you and I got our boxes, you know, you picked a different kind than me. You can get, if keto is your thing, you can get that. You can get the Calorie Smart package, you can get vegan, you can get veggie, and they have a bunch of add-ons as well. The meals take about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes if you want to use the microwave. If you're an oven person, you can use the oven too. And Factor's also done the math on being able to save, right? You might think with a lot of meal services, man, I don't know if I've got the funds for that. It's pretty expensive. Factor's actually less expensive than takeout, and then all their meals are dietitian approved. You can get as much or as little as you need. Get 6 meals a week. Get 18 meals a week. You can also pause or reschedule the deliveries anytime. And again, 100% ready to heat and eat when they are shipped to your door. They're packed nicely. They can sit at your door for quite a while because they're super packed in there, nice and cold. And then you can just heat them up when you're ready to go. So pop them in the fridge. They're ready to go when you're ready. Head to factormeals.com/Gamecocks. 50. Promo code again, Gamecocks 50. You can get 50% off of a Factor meal box plan. Again, that's code Gamecocks 50 at factormeals.com/Gamecocks 50.
Yeah, I love that. Y'all go check it out if you want to try a new meal kit. And I promise you, you'll like all the options they got there. Appreciate them for supporting us and actually several.
Yeah, we just lost you, Wes, real quick. So we'll get you.
I think I'm back
going
now.
Here. There you go. Yep, you're back.
Having some mic issues, but I think we're back good. I looked at this thing the wrong way, I guess. But trying to think, man. What other than anything we've already talked about? What was your biggest observation or most interesting observation from 6 sessions of practice today?
Whew, man.
Or from Shane Beamer.
Yeah, you know, I like that we were able to put those things together to kind of get what were Beamer's takeaways from, because he kind of can loop in last season and even some stuff from winter workouts and then what he saw on day one and then what you expect going forward. Here's a thought that I had. This is very big picture. And the reason is, I don't know if we have enough specifics where I could really do a deep dive into any one player or any one position group through just one day of what we thought in spring. But in thinking about this, Wes, I do think if your goal for South Carolina was to improve the roster from the end of 2023, a 5-7 season, to now, did you do that? And I think at a lot of positions, the answer is yes, just from a roster standpoint. Now, there are still a lot of questions to be answered, right? You have some very meaningful defections from last year's roster. Spencer Rattler is one. Xavier Leggett is one. You've got plenty of questions. You know, you're losing Marcellus Dial, you know, at one corner spot. So there are a lot of questions, but have you added some impact players to go along with, you know, developing guys on your current roster? I think the answer is yes. You know, we went through the offensive line. We went through running back. Quarterback could be good. Wide receiver, kind of a question, maybe one of the bigger question marks on the team. Shane Beamer feels like they have more depth in their front seven, D-line, edge, and linebacker, right? So that's just kind of a big picture overview of looking at the guys out there today, some of the body types, the athleticism, the physical presentation. But yeah, I think they did hit on this offseason class in some ways, to be determined. But I think they were able to improve the roster year over year, just big picture.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting here from Shane Beamer today. He hit on some of the things that we've written about and had heard about as far as the defense going into this year, just in terms of that versatility, that speed they've added at linebacker, the ability to, and this is something we wrote last week that I think is going to be kind of fascinating, the ability to kind of bounce back and forth between that 4-2-5 and that 3-3-5. Going as far as like, this is a true flex nickel defense now. Like, this is not a 4-2-5 defense that is going to also feature from 3-3-5, some 3-3-5. It's not just a 3-3-5 defense either. Like, they have the depth. They have the personnel. They have the experience, I think, too, where sometimes you don't want to do all that stuff because you don't want to overwhelm your guys if you have too many young players. And so now you can kind of seamlessly go back and forth between the two. I think the 3-3-5 worked so well for Carolina last year was because it unlocked Bam Martin-Scott, but also they had questions at edge, man. So to have that 4-2-5 working, you need those four guys up front to be able to get pressure, or at least get enough pressure to where you can bring a fifth guy and you're getting to the quarterback. And so I think when you add a Kyle Kennard, when you know, you had obviously.
Uh-oh, looks like we might have lost Wes. Let's see if we can get him back. Until then, I shall take over. I had a little mic issue earlier, but now he's just a spinning black circle. Y'all do me a favor. Do y'all see Wes, or do y'all see the spinning black, or actually the black background and then a spinning little white thing? If you see that, will you let me know? Hopefully I'm not talking over Wes and I'm actually the one that's been memory hold. But yeah, edge, man, fascinating position there. Yeah, Greg, thank you, man. Spin of death. All good. Let's actually take Wes out. Bye, Wes. Come on back when you are ready, my friend, and we will be glad to let you back in here. Let's see if we got him. No, we don't have him quite yet. Let me continue on edge because I got some thoughts here too. You know, you've got some new faces there too, right? Kyle Kennard from Georgia Tech has made some big plays at his time at Georgia Tech. Had a game where he had four sacks, you know? The rest of the performance maybe wasn't along those lines. But still, if you're bringing in a guy that has the capability to get four sacks in a game, that's intriguing, right? You got five-star freshman Dylan Stewart. You got Gilbert Edmond coming back as a guy that started plenty of games in 2022 for South Carolina and then went and played for, you know, didn't play a starting role, but played a role for a really good Florida State defense last year. Then you bring in Monkel Goodwine, DeAndre Jules up front is a guy that Pat Narduzzi, his former coach at Pitt, said was an NFL level guy and had a big year last year. So you're building up some depth up front, and Shane Beamer talked about that today. Wes, do we have you back, sir? I think we do. We're switched. We had
such fire takes, man, that I completely overheated my laptop. Woo! It was gone. I go through a laptop in about 2 or 3 years, because we're just on our computers all the time.
It's bad. Yeah.
So this one is showing the signs that we're in late life situation. But yeah, I'm back, man. I think you completed my thought. Much better pass rushers, I think, at least on paper for this year's squad. So that's going to allow you to continue to run some of that four-man front, 4-2-5. But then your linebackers, and obviously having Bam Martin Scott back, the additions out of both the portal. Beamer reiterated some stuff we were saying, too, about these two freshmen. We got to get used to calling him J.R. Johnson instead of Fred Johnson. But J.R. Johnson, Wendell Gregory, they're going to help this team this year. I think the more I hear, the more I feel pretty confident saying that. So I'll tell you what, man, you don't always get the big picture until you sit down and kind of look at it as the big picture. This offense, they got to replace a ton, man. Like, there is a lot new on the offensive side of the ball. Start diving through the defense, and you say, they didn't lose a ton. The guys they did lose, I feel like they are fine in who they replaced them with. That's not a shot at anybody, but I think they're going to be fine. The big question we have that we can't answer yet, who replaces Marcellus Dial? What does that cornerback spot look like opposite OD Fortune? So, but everybody has questions, man. I think when you – every team has some questions is what I'm trying to say. When you just look at the kind of the balance of the two, the defense I think is going to have to help carry things early next season as the offense kind of finds itself. That's a much bigger topic. That's definitely an offseason topic, not a day one, a spring topic. But I think you can almost already say that based on what I've seen so far. And to kind of get into what my answer would be to what I asked you, what stood out the most, it was that when we first walked out there, Chris, and they did the first drill after they were doing stretch, it was hearing the voice of Joe DeCamillis as opposed to the voice of Pete Limbo.
Yes.
It was different, yes. Right?
It was a lot different. And Beamer made a little crack about that. He said, you know, hey, that all, and he was kind of talking about all the coaches, what he saw from them, their energy level. And he said, hey, I mean, Joe D, he's going to bring a lot of energy in the meeting room, on the field. We saw that, Wes. He said, we may not have any, you know, war references and movie quotes and nicknames and things like that, but it's still going to be intense. And man, we definitely saw that. I mean, this is a guy that obviously has coaching chops. He's not just out there screaming and yelling to put on a show. There's an intent behind everything. I think you said that earlier correctly. Has a big, long resume that's pretty impressive, but definitely an intense character on the field.
Yeah, you got some, like, I know it's kind of a cliche. Maybe fans are going to get tired of hearing, hey, what stands out about Mike Ferry? What stands out about Sean Elliott? What stands about Joe D? High energy, intense, but when you're out there, man, you'll see it. I'm sure Justin King and those guys will put together some videos. You'll see it. Like, they're just, I think Beamer put it pretty well, man. You have so much that goes into being a quote-unquote coach these days that you rarely get to actually go coach. So when you do, you enjoy it, and you enjoy getting to go out there and run around with the guys and yell and scream and teach and all those things. So I thought we saw that on display pretty well today. But Joe D, definitely, man, a high energy, a motivator guy. He does not take no you know what off of nobody. Like, he's going to let the guys hear about it. But also, he is a technician. Like, you were talking about hearing some very detail-oriented coaching from a technique standpoint, which I think is very different than yelling just to yell, which I think sometimes you see coaches get caught up into that. So those guys don't usually last in terms of their impact on players, because ultimately players tune it out if they don't think you're yelling for a reason. And so That was cool to see. I'm sure we'll see more of Joe D as the spring kind of wears on when we're out there, because once again, man, I'll tell you what was not different. It was that instant sort of respect, appreciation, and focus on special teams, right? Like, there were special teams drills at practice right off the bat today.
Well, and we knew that Shane Beamer wasn't going to change the identity of his program. That's what he's built it around. Special teams is integrated with everything they do. He puts a larger than usual emphasis on it compared to some of his colleagues. And I think, look, that's paid off, quite frankly. I mean, that's been one of the strengths of the South Carolina program under his watch. They've made a lot of big plays. They've been very solid there. And to be good there, it's not just by accident. You got to have good coaching and good players, and you have to devote time to it. So that certainly, it seems, has continued. And, you know, what are the tweaks, Wes? I think to some degree we'll have to wait and see what some of those are. I think they'll continue some things that they were doing previously. Certainly the amount of time and effort they're putting into it will always continue under Shane Beamer. From there, we'll see, you know, what other kind of tweaks and things like that Joe D puts in.
Yep, no doubt, man. So I feel like we hit on a lot of stuff. I feel like there's plenty of meat on this bone to go, plenty more to talk about. We're almost out of time here today. Maybe we'll hit on a couple of little final things. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends at Liberty Tax. Overcome your tax anxiety, 803-462-5576. Running out of time, guys. Tax time is here. Get your taxes done, whether you're getting a refund, which means you can get a little bit of extra money in the pocket, or you're going to owe the government money. You're going to want somebody who will stand by you and help you through a process that really, frankly, nobody loves, but everybody has to go through. So why not do it with some people who, first of all, also love the Gamecocks, but most importantly, they're going to take care of you. Three convenient locations of Liberty Tax right here in the Columbia area. It's a brighter way to do your taxes. Overcome your tax anxiety, 803-462-5576. As always, shout out to our friend Larry for helping us out, for supporting us, and for letting us tell the good word about his business here in the Columbia area. I don't know when the next show will be. I need to find that out. I know the boys in Pittsburgh will probably be coming at you at some point. We're going to have some women's basketball streaming coverage, I believe, as well throughout the tournament as far as their run to the Final Four. And Chris and I will be hopping in to talk football from time to time, of course, as well. We'll have some Garnet Trust interviews along the way, too, hoping to catch up with some football players. And, Chris, this really isn't on point or on topic at all, but it feels like worth mentioning. How about Malaysia Fulwiley with yet another big brand deal today? Have you seen this?
Enlighten me. I have not. I've been buried in football today.
Let's just say it gives you wings.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Red Bull sponsoring Malaysia Fulwiley. We already saw here locally. You've got Under Armour, I believe, is giving her new shoes every single game, I understand. And then, Chris, let's see. Who are we forgetting? Steph Curry. So that was an extension of, I believe, mm-hmm. Under Armour deal there, but the Miss Fulwiley taking full advantage of.
She's doing okay.
Rightfully so, though, man. She has built a great brand, huh?
Yeah, she has. I mean, you know, big time prospect. She's living up to that billing for, you know, making an impact on a great team and, you know, doing a really good job on the marketing front. So good for her.
Yeah, no doubt. Look forward to seeing what she does next. Very exciting stuff on the women's basketball front as they tip off tournament play on Friday afternoon. Again, men, 4 o'clock, live from Pittsburgh. Gamecock Central will be there bringing you coverage. And I think this is going to about do it, but not this is not it as far as content. GamecockCentral.com, go check us out. Plenty of free content, even more subscriber content, observations from practice popping up there soon. We've got comments from Shane Beamer and lots of recruits who were on campus for practice as well. We'll have a list for you on those guys and just complete coverage as always. But also, as always, we appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Lots of names on here that we recognize, maybe a few new names as well. So appreciate the support as always. Until next time, he is Chris, I am Wes, and we'll see you then.